Live Creative Now, episode 24.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, Brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, the podcast for anyone with a creative hunger. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, because no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it is how you change the world. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Today, I am sharing what I relearned on my autumn vacation, something that I'm relearning for the umpteenth time, and will probably have to relearn umpteen times again. But first, this is pretty late notice, but I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be on the East Coast in New Jersey on Saturday, this Saturday, October 10th, teaching a half-day workshop. Actually, I call it a play shop, Unleash Your Inner Creative. And I'll be performing in a house concert in a private home in Plainfield, New Jersey. You can find out everything you need to know about the Unleash Your Inner Creative workshop and find a link to the house concert ticket page over at UnleashYourInnerCreative.com. That's UnleashYourInnerCreative.com, all one word. I would love to see you. And now, on with today's episode. Live creative now. Live creative now. There are certain things that we seem to need to learn over and over again before they stick. For me, how to keep my schedule of commitments reasonable and humane, that is one of those things. I seem to have a really hard time understanding that the expectations that I have for myself, which seems so reasonable, in fact, are often superhuman. Yeah. Like crazy ridiculous. Everything in my life suffers when I overcommit. And yet, this is an area where I just continue to stumble. And this past couple of weeks is a really great example of this. And I wanted to share it with you because I've been learning a lot from it, and I think it might be useful for you as well. So September 23rd was Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. And for me, that means usually a full day of fasting. It's a day in which everybody who observes fasts. And I also lead services at my synagogue. There's a 3.5-hour service in the morning and another suite of services in the afternoon and evening that is another 2.5 or 3 hours that I co-lead. Needless to say, no work gets done that day. It's a holy day. It's a holiday. Plus, it's also pretty exhausting to lead services all day long and to fast all day long. So I've learned that my life goes best when I give myself a break the day afterwards. But I didn't have a break this year. Instead, the day after Yom Kippur, I was in my car, my fully packed car, by 6:30 in the morning. Now, if you have known me for more than a few months, you might know that this is kind of miraculous. I used to be a sworn night owl, but I have recently reformed and become a very happy morning person. So I was actually able to get into my car by 6:30 without too much pain. I had to drive down the coast in order to get to a 9 a.m. workshop that was a couple hours away at Life is a Verb Camp. I will include a link to Life is a Verb Camp over in the show notes. I highly recommend it. I cannot say enough wonderful things about Life is a Verb Camp, which is why I committed to going, even though I was going to have to get up super early in the morning the day after, which meant also that I was going to have to spend a lot of time packing in advance. So it basically threw my schedule into a big old crazy mess. Now, I knew that leaving at dawn the day after Yom Kippur would be taxing. But as I said, Life is a Verb Camp is, well, it's non-negotiable in my world. I've been there. This is their third year it's happened, and I've been every year. And, you know, wild horses would have to drag me away. I don't even know if they could. So that wasn't the problem. The real problem came when I didn't accept that Yom Kippur followed by 4 days of camp was really quite enough of a commitment for 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Now, I don't know what I was thinking, but I scheduled the start date of the Great Clutter Bust, which is my wonderful clutter busting program that I was super excited about because I have a lot of clutter busting to do in my own house. I scheduled the start day of the Great Clutter Bust for October 1st, 4 days after getting back from camp. Now, this was not a well thought out plan because I am human and I have human needs for sleep and for creative sandbox time to play with my creative things. And I need recuperation time from intense retreat experiences. And launching a program is more than just putting up a sales page and opening up a shopping cart. There are literally dozens of emails to write, not including the dozens of emails that I wrote in response to people asking questions. There are blog posts to schedule and social media posts to schedule, and there are tons of technological pieces and parts to put in order. So, in other words, a start date of 4 days after getting back from camp was insane. And, you know, this is completely my own fault. I got kind of obsessive compulsive about starting the Great Clutter Bust on the first of the month. But when I thought about it later, the reality was it did not have to start on the first of the month, even though it happens inside of my Creative Sandbox membership program, which is a monthly, an ongoing program where we often focus on something different every month. I didn't have to start the Great Clutter Bust on the 1st. I could have started it on the 8th or the 15th or, you know, any day, and it would have been fine. And it also would have saved me a ton of grief. But this learning not to overcommit is such a leading edge for me. I have a really distorted sense of what I should be capable of, right? And once again, for the umpteenth time, I had a couple of weeks of way too much work and too little sleep and too little play. Though I have to say, I'm very proud of myself that my late nights ended at 11 or 12 midnight instead of 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or later, which is what used to happen not that long ago, even earlier this year. So, progress. But the reality is, when more than one day passes and I haven't played in the creative sandbox in some way, when I haven't done something creative just for the fun of it, something is wrong. And when this is my own making, it's a really important reminder to me to respect my human limitations. And yes, I allowed myself to get sucked into the all work, all the time tornado again. And what happens when this happens is it's so tempting to beat myself up because the reality is I'm angry and I'm frustrated at myself for letting this happen again. There's nobody to blame but me. But I also know from experience that beatings don't help. So it's kind of like that joke sign that you might have seen in offices that says, the beatings will continue until morale improves, right? I mean, this is funny. We laugh at this because we know it's absurd. You can't like beat a group of people in the hopes that that's going to improve morale. I mean, of course, it's ridiculous. And yet, we somehow expect that self-flagellation will be different, that somehow that will help. And it doesn't. In fact, scientific studies have shown that, contrary to popular belief, this idea that we must carry a big stick and beat ourselves with it liberally, contrary to that belief, when it comes to achieving success at any goal, self-compassion is much more effective. We will not dissipate into slobby, unproductive couch potatoes if we don't beat ourselves. In fact, we are way more likely to achieve our goals, whatever they are. Fitness, work-related, relationship-related, creative practice-related, whatever they are, self-compassion is key. So, when this happens to me, as I've mentioned, it happens a lot, I remind myself that I am human, that I am not the only person on the planet to overcommit. I am not alone. And instead of beating myself up, I do my best to love myself up. So what does that mean? That means, first of all, letting myself off the hook for signing up for yet another self-imposed deadline right on the heels of the Great Clutter Bus launch. Yeah, before I went to camp, I had actually signed up to participate in Gumroad's Small Product Lab. So Gumroad is this website platform that allows you to sell products online, digital products or whatever. You don't have to have a website to use it. It's pretty cool. And every so often they run this 10-day challenge to get people to create and promote and launch and sell a small product. And I participated in the Small Product Lab challenge back in July when I used it to motivate me to create what actually turned into a very not small product, my Erase the Chaos Toolkit, which is a 99-page ebook and an 18-page companion workbook. Yes. This was yet another example of me taking on way too much. As I said, this is my leading edge. Now, in order to stay healthy and sane, even though I really, really, really want to participate in the Small Product Lab and launch my small product on October 7th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day that it's released, this podcast episode, everybody else in the Small Product Lab is going to be releasing their small product on October 7th. I am letting myself off the hook. And I have to say that it feels so much worse to have signed up for it and then retract and let myself off the hook than it would feel if I just hadn't signed up in the first place. But this time around, as part of my self-compassion practice, I am not only forgiving myself for overcommitting multiple ways in the past couple of weeks, I am also making a note of that tight, prickly feeling in my stomach when I filled out that form to sign up for the Small Product Lab. I knew that it was too much, but I ignored my intuition. At the same time as making that note of that sensation so I can remember it the next time, I am applauding myself for not ignoring that feeling in another situation. I also, if you can believe this, I contemplated applying to be in the studio audience for a class with Creative Live. Creative Live is this amazing company that offers online learning, and they film their classes with super high production values with live studio audiences. And I've been able to participate in a number of those classes because they film in San Francisco, which is about an hour away from me. And I was contemplating, actually considering applying to be in the studio audience for a class, which is happening right now this week, which would have had me, started last week actually, it would have had me commuting to San Francisco for 5 full days of filming immediately after coming home from camp. I knew that that was going to be impossible if I also wanted to launch the Great Clutter Bust, so I didn't apply. So yay me! Improvement! Yay! Progress. So I wanted to share all of this with you because I have a feeling that, in fact, I know for certain that I am not the only one who really struggles with this. And my lesson from this latest ride on the overcommitment merry-go-round is to stay alert for that prickly feeling in my stomach and to listen to it when it tells me, Melissa, this is too much. So hard for me, but that is my initiative. That's my takeaway. And what I'd like to ask you is, what is your signal that you're taking on too much? One more time. Do you have a sensation in your body that you can pay attention to? Start to pay attention to those signs and start to pay attention also to what is truly realistic for you. If you're anything like me, what's actually realistic probably feels like it's stupidly small, like crazy ridiculously small. But what you think is realistic is actually not. It's actually only realistic for superheroes who can bend the space-time continuum. And if you're like me, you haven't figured out how to do that yet. And I want to remind you that it might take several dozen stumbles, maybe several hundred stumbles, maybe several thousand stumbles before you succeed in recognizing your limits and holding back before you overcommit yourself again. But if you set the intention to treat yourself with self-compassion, to treat yourself as you would treat a beloved friend, it will happen eventually. I am cheering us both on. We can do this. Let me know what your signals are, how you recognize when you are contemplating taking on too much. I want to know because it might help me to recognize similar signals in myself. And I want to know because if you tell me what the signals are, you are going to be so much more likely to remember them. You can just hop over to livecreativenow.com and shoot me an email. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you'd like to get a chance to chat with me live and ask your own question about living a full-color life, through the end of 2015, I am holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month, and you can register by going to livecreativenow.com/questions and just click that big green button on the page. That's livecreativenow.com/questions. Meanwhile, if you're getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and leave a 5-star rating and review over on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews mean so much to me. They make a really big difference in how the show is ranked, and that makes a really big difference in helping other people find it, and that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play a really important role in this movement, changing the conversation around creative expression and play, simply by leaving a review. Plus, I would be so incredibly grateful. Thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.